Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Melissa Campanelli, and I'm the Editor-in-Chief of Retail Online Integration. Welcome to today's Retail Online Integration webinar, How Trustworthy is Your Website? Live Critiques with Tim Ash and Trustee. And a special thank you to Trustee, our sponsor. Before we get started, let me point out a few tips on how to make the most of today's live presentation. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help button at the bottom of the console or let us know via the Ask a Question box. Second, make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can see and take part in any interactive portions of today's presentation. To get a PDF version of the slide presentation for future reference, click on the Download Slides button on the console. If you're enjoying the webinar and would like to spread the word to your peers, send an email invitation directly from the console by clicking the Invite a Colleague button. You can also give us your feedback at any time during the hour by clicking the Survey button. The survey will also be distributed at the end of today's webinar. If you leave the presentation at any time, you can access the entire webinar on demand for the next 90 days via the same audience link you used to watch the presentation today. After that, the webinar can be viewed from the Retail Online Integration website at www.retailonlineintegration.com/webinar. Finally, we encourage you to tweet about the webinar, so please use hashtag #PoundROIWebinar when doing so. Let's get started. Let me introduce the first speaker, Andreas Rudestenzel, the Director of Online Marketing at Trustee, the leading online privacy solutions provider. How you doing, Andreas?
Good. Thank you for having us. Okay, so I will go into a couple slides about Trustee and a couple quick best practices for trust building on your website. We have we've been doing this for 14 years now, heading towards 15 years, and we have 4,000 customers, so we have a good idea of what has worked and what hasn't worked as far as building trust with your web visitors. As you can see, we've got a good number of logos here of brand name customers who work with us, and many of these logos actually post our Trustee green and black seal on their website. It's the little logo you see in the upper right. And as a result, we serve about 500 million of these Trustee seals every day. Now, one interesting thing to note, and I see several of you in the audience that are from our client company, so thank you for joining. One interesting thing to note here is that privacy over recent years has become more and more of an issue online. And so over 1 million of the visitors to our client sites actually click on the Trustee logo on these sites, whether it's eBay or Yahoo or B2B sites like Oracle. They actually click on the site's logo for Trustee and come and give their clients a thumbs up or thumbs down, or just read about how many people are visiting, how many, you know, what kind of things are going on that client site. They're actually verifying what that website is doing around privacy. So if you've noticed over the years, privacy has become much more prominent in the press around website privacy, ad tracking privacy, mobile privacy, and other areas. So it's a good thing to consider when trying to build trust on your website. So here are a couple slides. One is focus on the marketing levers that matter. Invest into the lower funnel, so your website, your landing pages, and then work your way up to your kind of email copy and your ads. When you consider privacy best practices, think about the amount of time and the amount of money it takes as a percentage of your overall ad spend. I saw some pretty big-name companies in the audience today, and I have a feeling you're spending good amounts of money pushing traffic or visitors to your websites and your landing pages for really a few dollars a month for the smaller customers and a few hundred dollars a month for larger customers. You can optimize your best practices, your privacy best practices. You can have third-party audits done by Trustee that cover a few of the following things. So for your website, we provide industry-leading data privacy best practices. We advise you, if you use us or don't, have a strategy around online privacy. So in summary, really quickly, make things easy to use. Have a active and well-communicated privacy policy, have it linked on every page, have it in kind of common language, not so much legalese where only lawyers can understand it if you communicate it and create it so that it's easy to kind of navigate and read. That's really highly advised these days. And then link the media that you create also into the site. So whether you're making landing pages for search or for microsites for content or something special for email marketing, have it accessible. Have your email policies and your data usage policies all linked, and privacy policies, of course, all linked back so people can find them easily and kind of reference them as they like. Going a click up the funnel, look at your email privacy best practices checklist, and you want to create something that's industry-leading. A lot of industries are organizing themselves around certain practices that are common in their industries so that they can stay out of the eyes of the regulators. So it's one thing to consider. You want industry-leading preference practices. You can even use your industry associations to promote kind of best practice if you see regulators eyeing your industry specifically. Again, make things easy to find. Have privacy policies, email policies, data usage policies linked at the bottom of the emails. If you're collecting emails for newsletters or others, have a link there. We definitely promote preference managers, so give people the opportunity to opt up and opt down, so add things and subtract things rather than just an opt out. You don't want to just lose somebody completely because that's the only thing that you offer. And then, of course, you got to keep your promises. So if you're collecting email addresses on a microsite, you still have to have the preferences you collect there ported over to your main database so that you can honor the people who've opted up or down or out on those other sites. Okay? Moving over to media, again, push for industry-leading privacy practices. Consider the amount of press that's taken place around advertising tracking over the last 6 months or a year. It's incredible how much press this area has gotten. So, again, have a strategy around your advertising, retargeting, interest-based advertising that you do. Try to make it pretty comprehensive. Involve all of your global team members. Get executive buy-in, et cetera, and of course, educate your agencies and media buyers and partners about what you're doing so that they can align as well, or at least understand what you're doing as well. Definitely, we promote it at Trustee to do this proactively. Don't wait till your company is mentioned in a Wall Street Journal ad about, aggressive marketing or some kind of unusual tracking. Get ahead of it, know what you're doing, and then you're kind of ready for any surprises, and you'll avoid surprises that way. And with everything else, make it easy to use, active, and well-communicated. Okay? So about Trustee, we offer proactive privacy security services, so we try to mitigate risk. We try to ensure compliance before audits and other things come up. And then, of course, as a result, we protect and build brand affinity. We do this for your advertising, your mobile, your cloud platforms. Many of you in larger companies may not even know you have cloud platforms that you offer customers where you actually collect data for them, and, of course, your traditional websites. Our services are pretty comprehensive. We have a blend of services done by client service professionals here mixed with software that does automated routinized tasks for us and provides dashboards and reports for us and for you. And we're pretty scalable and flexible. You can go from a small business where it's a few dollars a day for a simple monthly scan to large enterprises with very complex needs where it's probably a mix of services and software for a few hundred dollars a day. And lastly, we offer the seal, which runs across all or most of your customer-facing channels. We also, it's not on here, but we include services for apps and other things as well. So one thing that you came here to see today, and then I'll wrap it up, is as a result, we've seen customers consistently see marketing uplift. They know this trustee brand. And for smaller sites or sites collecting information, they know that their data is going to be safe. It's not just safe at the point of entry. Like, it's not just an encryption. We do offer that. It's also what happens to the data once it's in the company's database. And so whether it's being shared by partners or sold or traded, we will make that public to you. So you see marketing uplift in terms of increased conversion rates. And then for e-commerce companies, you see sales uplift, both in terms of increased purchases, and so an increase in the number of purchases, and then an increase in revenue per visit, your RPV stat. Okay? So with that, I will turn it back over to Melissa. Thank you again.
Great. Thanks so much, Andreas. Great information. And we're really excited to introduce Tim Ash, who's going to be doing some fantastic live site reviews today. So everybody get ready for that. In case you don't know Tim already, he literally wrote the book on landing page optimization. Tim Ash is the CEO of Site Tuners, which has worked with over 850 clients worldwide to improve conversions. He's also the chairperson of the Conversion Conference, which had a great event in New York recently, and there's going to be some upcoming conversion conferences in San Francisco, Chicago, and New York next year. He's also a very frank person, so buckle up and get ready to take your medicine during the live reviews. Take it away, Tim.
Thanks very much, Melissa. Appreciate that. Yeah, I'm afraid it's true. I'm not going to pull my punches. I'm going to set up my screen here. Thank you so much to everybody who submitted their websites. We had lots and lots of people submitting, so we probably won't be able to go to all of them. Now, if you want to make sure you see the screen correctly, you may have to press the little checkbox near your view that says auto view flash clips full size. So if you haven't checked that, go ahead and do that. And it might open another browser window, so you'll be seeing my screen sharing in another browser in case that's behind what you're looking at right now. Make sure that you're following along. Everybody should be seeing my screen at this point. And right now I have the Taylor page site up. Again, thanks for everyone who submitted their site. I'm going to talk about trust and the trustworthiness of your site. Now, of course, we think of trust seals like trustee as being one way to build trust, and it's a very powerful one. I'm going to give you kind of the four pillars of trust that I'm going to be touching on today. And they are, you know, transactional seals during the time of the transaction, whether you want someone to buy or fill out a form to give them that warm and fuzzy. And these are everything from whether you accept credit cards to how you ship, to trade associations you belong to, trust policies and privacy policies, things like that. The second pillar is use of authority. Clients, trade associations, media mentions, anything like that, outside people that are well-known or credible that say what you do is wonderful. The third is social proof, or actually using the behavior of my peers, if I'm the visitor to your website, to sway me. Because if a lot of people just like me are doing something, that serves as a shortcut to my own decision-making. And finally, and this one I'm going to focus on a lot throughout the day, is appearance. And we know from research that people will form a first impression of your website in a 20th of a second. That's right, 50 milliseconds. And we're very visual creatures. It's very hard to overcome that first impression. So I'm going to talk a lot about kind of the overall production quality of a site. All right, so let's get started. Here we are on the Taylor Page site, and I just want to point out some things that are making the site a little more trustworthy. One of them is the e-commerce by Yahoo. Now, you may not have heard, everyone has heard of Yahoo Store, at least, you know, out in the general public, but they certainly have heard of Yahoo itself. And so that's, in a way, a badge of trust right there. Another thing you can see is this company sells a lot of, you know, this looks like niche designer-related things for invitation papers and party invitations and so on. So presumably what those are the seals of the most noteworthy or popular types. Now, I'm not sure if that's actually true, but if it's not, you should definitely put your biggest, most popular seals in that area or brand names, because that's, again, appealing to outside authority and trust in that sense. But there are a couple of things here that undermine my at least perception of trust here, and that is just the wild use of fonts all over this page. Now, you may not think about it, but there are probably 50 different font treatments just in this visible area of the page alone. And I know that comes as a surprise to people. I don't mean font families, because that's what we commonly think of, you know, the font style or family or the type of lettering used. But I'm talking about font family, the size of the font, the color of it, the free ground shipping. That's in green right there. And that's something that, you know, the rest of the sentence turns back to black. Up here, the questions call us, that's the same font size, but it's in burgundy. So there are all these variations. So everything is a variation. The background color, the foreground color. So here we have white text on chocolate brown. Here we have pink text on white, and so on. Not only the font family, but also whether it's all bold. There's a lot of all bolding going on here on this nav bar and up in this upper right-hand area. That's all bold. So even if it's the same font family, it's not the same treatment. And so if you combine all of that, you know, underlining, italicizing, the styles, the foreground colors, the background colors, or background images in some cases, you just get this mishmash of different fonts on here. And it's kind of death by a thousand cuts. The perceived professionalism of the site, I think, is fairly low because of that. And we may see other kind of examples of this as I go through some of the other sites. But I want you to think of fonts this way. Fonts should be used to basically organize information on the page. A font treatment should only be different if it signifies a different use for that font. In other words, it's okay to have a navigation font or a page headline or page text or links. Those are legitimate. You could probably have a few others to kind of organize and shape the information on the page, but don't just go crazy just because you can, okay? So that's my comments on that site. Let's go on to the International Horse Identification Registry. By the way, and some of you may be seeing on your screen, we kind of have a low-resolution version of these websites, so you actually may be seeing banding on the page. That's not really there. It's kind of an even fade from blue to white to lighter blue at the bottom. But the thing I have to say about this site is, to me, again, from a design standpoint, it almost looks like there's something broken, not because, again, of those stripes, but because there's actually no connection between this wider header, which goes this wide, and to the body of the page, which gets narrower and skinnier down here. And the same is true of the body of the on the other side of the menu. It's indented from this wider header area. So I'm almost thinking like the page didn't load properly for me. And whenever you have when you take such kind of liberties with your design, where it almost looks broken or unfinished, that it immediately explodes your potential credibility or the trust that I have in you. So make sure your websites look finished, that they don't look broken, that they look good on a variety of different browsers. Increasingly, people are looking at websites on mobile devices or on tablets, you know, smartphones. So one of the terrific set of tools you can use just for regular web browsers, on PCs at least, is to use crossbrowsertesting.com. And you can basically just rent computers in any configuration you want. So you can say, hey, what does this look like on a Mac on a 30-inch monitor with JavaScript turned off? And you can just see it. And that way you can make sure that for whatever your major browsers are, that browser types of people coming to your website, that it works for them. The other thing that I'd say is that this site is a little bit plain. It's maybe intentionally so, but I'd say this is an example of where, again, the production quality and the first impression is kind of playing against you. Okay, let's pull up. And Andreas, you know what? Before I go on to the next slide, I want to just see if you have, if you want to feel free to chime in, or if you have anything you want to say about either the Taylor Pages site or the International Horse site that we're just horse and identification registry site we're looking at. Please let me know.
No, I think your points are right on target. If I were to comment about anything, is it looked like the horse registry had a nice register online button. I would call that out. And I think for design, people tend to look towards the tops or the sides, and that register button seemed to be right in the middle. So that'd be my only comment. As somebody who was constantly chasing, for traffic.
Yeah. Melissa, I'm afraid you did screen sharing on your end by mistake, so I'm going to try to see if I can take it back here.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. All right. Okay, let's see. I'm going to pause it here and see. Bear with me, folks. You should be able to see the screen again in 1 second. So sorry, Andreas, can you just repeat what you were saying? I apologize.
No trouble at all. I was saying for the horse registry website, decent-looking site, your points will help them, I think, quite a bit. And from my side, as somebody who looks to get registrations and sign-ups quite often, I would advise kind of either highlighting the register online button somehow or actually moving it over to the upper right or somewhere on the right side. I think people have a tendency to look for a call to action over there quite often. So a couple quick pointers.
Okay, so we should have the screen back in a second. Let me know. Again, you may have your browser might throw up a new window here. Okay, so then the next site I want to talk about is right here, Canich Motorsports. Now, when I came to the site, there were some trust symbols here in the transactional trust area, and that would be the different payment methods. It's pretty clear that this is an e-commerce site, and you're going to pay for something here. But one of the things I'd say from a just kind of trustworthiness standpoint, I really don't think of this as a catalog. As bizarre as this may seem, you have a lot of stuff on your navigation. In fact, you have this very strange two-level navigation where things are just kind of stacked up in that red area of the page, but it's not like they're hierarchical. It's not like they're the second row is a subdivision of the first row. But the thing that strikes me as not trustworthy here is because there's just one product displayed. And again, if you sell a catalog, you want to give me a sense of how big your product line is. And here, I don't really get that sense. I think you sell this one helmet. And if you've ever seen eye tracking studies or usability studies of people, literally, if you show them this page and say, how many products does this company sell? They'll say one. They'll ignore your navigation because nobody's reading the text up here in the navigation area. And they won't scroll necessarily at first. Or even if you make them scroll, then they'll say, oh, okay, wait, they sell the helmet and they sell the jacket. So they'll think you sell exactly two things, and then there's some upsell things in the right-hand column here. But still, from a trust standpoint, again, if your product selection is not good, if this is what your catalog is just you giving me the details of this one helmet, then I probably don't think of you as very credible either. Now, it's funny to see kind of a motorsports-related example because yesterday I was just speaking at the SEMA online marketing conference. This was kind of a pre-conference day to the big specialty equipment manufacturers for the automotive industry. Boy, they have some fun toys. But anyway, one thing I noticed is that different industries have different looks. When we were looking at site reviews for automotive or motorsports, everybody likes to use these really, really striking colors, like the blacks and charcoal grays and reds that you're seeing on this site. And one, again, I would say one thing that probably undermines the perceived credibility of the site is the choice of colors. Things that look really good on a big billboard or on your product packaging, if you have physical product packaging, does not look good on the web. And it's taking quite a big risk to use these kind of bold striking colors because, remember, when we're sitting in front of a monitor and we have light projected at us, those are literally just hitting our eyeballs and in a sense pulsating, and you don't want to use these extreme contrasts or super strong colors. Well, I'll make an exception. If your target audience are 15-year-old, jaded teenage boys who like to play Gears of War 3, you know, with their friends all the time, well, then maybe you can have this really stark, high-impact site. But I would say, you know, tone it down. I know it's aimed at guys primarily, I would think, but you want to, in general, stay away from super high-contrasty colors. You want to stay kind of middle, neutral, and then into the lights. Now, again, obviously we have a completely different audience, but just to show an example of our own site, again, those weird stripes you see in the header, that's basically an even tone of gray. It's just showing up that way on the video sharing. But you know, we look at the darkest colors on the page besides the actual graphic banner that we're using here. The sides are medium gray. The navigation bar is orange. And that's it. From there, it only gets lighter. Okay, so you want to stay away from extreme contrast because they're going to form these points of visual interest on your page and for the wrong reasons. In other words, look, I'm looking right now at the texture inside of your header, and that's not where you want me looking. Okay. Andreas, anything you want to add to this one?
No, I think it is good to have those point of purchase trust symbols on the page and your points about optimizing the rest of it, especially colors, are good.
You know, one thing I don't see here are actually transactional trusts other than the Visa and MasterCard. You know, powered by stores online here at the very bottom of the footer doesn't really tell me too much. What I'd like to see is, well, I assume you ship, right? And if I dug around a little bit, I'd like to see some transactional trust that's telling me how you ship. Okay, you have, if I go to your shipping here, it says flat rate, blah, 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 but you don't say exactly how you ship. I mean, assuming you use the postal service even or UPS or FedEx as options, then I would put those logos there. That's a form of trust, okay? Because people have a lot of anxieties around online purchases. Am I going to get what I ordered? Is it going to arrive on time? How can I know when it's in transit, how to track it? So all of those things are very important. And you want to, the moment I hit your site, alleviate all of those kind of transaction-related anxieties. You know, it says you have free shipping. I mean, that's fantastic right there. But I have to go to this page to find that in tiny, tiny text. Okay. And it says you ship worldwide. That's another powerful thing. But again, you know, if you said free worldwide shipping, or maybe you don't, maybe worldwide isn't free, but anyway, free U.S. shipping, and turn that into a seal, into a visual representation of it, I think that would go a long way towards increasing instantly the trust. So when you get to the home page, I'd like to see wherever in some prominent area your trust. By the way, look what just happened. I just refreshed the page, and I got some different kind of individual product. As a general thing, I would say, again, if you want me to see you as someone that carries a large product line, do not put individual products on your home page. Have category-level items that will make me trust you just because of the depth of your product line. I think one of the companies that does this really well is B&H Photo. I just would like to use them as an example for catalogs because they have this category-level organization on their homepage. So this is kind of the body of their homepage. And you can see this notion of, look, really extensive product line, everything from photography to pro audio. And they've done this great job with the categories of creating these composite images that represent the whole category, and you have the sense of category-ness. I'm not going to confuse a single helmet for the category of helmets. If you put three or four helmets together and show the diversity of stuff, closed helmets, open helmets, all of those put together into one shot, then I get the notion that that's where helmets are, and a set of different kinds of jackets somewhere else, and the full body suits and somewhere else, several of them, and different kinds of gloves and so on. And you see how easy it is to visually zero in on a picture? One thing we know from research, too, a picture is not worth 1,000 words. That's a lie. But a picture is actually worth 400 to 500 letters because that's how much faster we process images rather than individual characters. So you see how easy it is here to zero in, say, do they have plasma TVs? Oh, yeah, because there's a picture of one, and I can just now I can safely ignore the rest of the page and then use the second-level navigation to drill down and get to what I want. All right. Andreas, any other thoughts?
Well, these are good good points you made. I like that site, actually, the way it's laid out.
Yeah, very, very well done. Those guys have been optimizing it for years. Rotozip. Okay, now here we have a product website. And again, I think that they're trying to be too cool with the graphic design. There's the same black and reds and the concrete in the background. And there's, and you know what? I'm looking at every little air hole and pocket and little indentation in that concrete. Is that really what you want me to do? Again, I would say the answer is probably no. So what you want is something, again, use our own site as an example, is that the sides are completely boring. I don't want you looking inside of my header. I don't want you looking at the sides of the page. We made the high contrast, interesting stuff in the middle. Don't put any patterns on your sides. It's fine. It's great that you have a fixed width website and that it's centered on the page. That's all best practices. But don't have anything of visual interest, you know, outside of the boundaries of the page itself. Okay. Also, just as a quick note on fonts, I know I talked about this. There are basically three ways to decrease the readability of the text on your site. And these have been shown in study after study and study after on the web. You don't want to have serif fonts, ones that have like Times Roman, ones that have little, let's see if we can find one, that have, that aren't even. For example, well, like on the letter Y in Yahoo here, you see how like the little bottom's got the crossbar and the tops of the Y have those little boogers also. That's a serif font. What you want is sans serif or without serif, like this Taylor Page logo, it's an even width font without any decorations on the ends of the letters. So in the same way, you know, so here we have on the Rotozip site sans serif fonts or even width fonts. That's good. But there are two big things that you should not be doing. One is using reverse color text. So when you have lighter on dark background, so white on red or white on the charcoal gray, it makes it very difficult to read. And then the other thing that you shouldn't do is to use all capital letters. And these are all over the place on the site. And they're bad for two reasons. There's a practical reason, as I mentioned, they really decrease the amount of text read because we don't recognize words. We don't think in concepts. We think of the individual letter shapes. And it's so much easier for us to, for example, like in the SiteTuner's logo, to pull out the tall letter S or the dot on the I or the short little E or the big tall T and to have those vary in size, capital letters and lowercase letters. If you don't do that, then what you have is when you're reading a word, like workbench, the whole top of the word is at the same height and the bottom of the word is at the same height. So basically, you're decreasing the amount of text read by 20 to 30% by just going all capital like this all over the page. And I'm probably not what you want. Yeah, it's also the web equivalent of screaming. Like, have you ever been on Craigslist and you look at somebody's ad, they really want to get noticed, so they go all capital on you? You really don't want to be that guy in the room. Okay. The other thing that strikes me, though, about Rotozip, I mean, it seems like a pretty evolved product. It's, you know, it's been around. I've seen it. How do I know who you are? I would be piggybacking off of, you have the product stuff itself here, you know, buy it and so on. There's the Rotozip story, but have you won any design awards? Have you won any sales records? I mean, if I go to your press releases, will I find that you've been featured in, you know, a bunch of different magazines and trade publications and you won a Consumer Reports kind of head-to-head test against the Sawzall or whatever your nearest competitor is? Or so I'd like to see trust in the form of third-party endorsements. I'd like to see trust in the – and not just stuff buried on the press release page with little Word doc or WPDF downloads. I'd like to see you promote those media wins or PR mentions on the homepage. You know, one other thing, I'm guessing a few people have bought this tool. I'm just being facetious, but how many? why can't you say, you know, over 100,000 happy customers since 1998? I mean, that would be a very powerful form of social proof, which I haven't talked about yet. But again, the idea is, if a lot of people just like me are using your tool and having a good outcome with it, then that serves as a shortcut to my own decision making. And there's nothing about your customers. This is a very product-centric site. You're kind of ignoring the social proof or the fact that you probably have a Facebook fan page with thousands of fans, and they all love you, and there's a high engagement with you on other social media, and you have a lot of followers on Twitter perhaps. And so I'm just kind of making this up, but if you have any other kinds of, actually you don't have that evolved a fan page here. I'm just looking on Facebook, but you know, there's your fan page, only 32 people like it, but I'm sure you have customers and clients and so on, so you really want to at least say how many you've sold since the dawn of time. I mean, there's a reason McDonald's, you had those big signs that say over 99 billion served, and you want to write it out in big numerals, you know, 99,000,000,000,000, because it impacts people, okay? Testimonials are something else that'd be nice to see. Also, using it for different applications, this is such a versatile tool. I'd like to see this for, drywall. I mean, you have some of this, you know, for drywall, for plaster, but I'd like to see testimonials by people that just do that. So when I click on drywall, I'd like to see people say, this is the best thing since, sliced bread or sliced drywall, as it were. Andreas, any other thoughts or comments before we close on this one?
I thought that the where to buy, you know, if people are coming to your site and they're on your homepage, I've got to think they kind of know who you are, and they're probably more like mid or lower funnel visitors. And I thought the where to buy at the top was a little bit hard to read, and then it may be your reverse color note comment before, and then also the phone number. I don't know if they will sell direct, but the where to buy and the phone number could be bigger or a different color or something. There was one other comment I had. I also thought that this is like a professional construction guy's tool, and I thought something about putting something about a warranty or durability or how strong it is might be good. It's just like a benefit, like for any other product. But
absolutely, like, it's good. Tim the Tool Man Taylor, right? Like on TV, tough tools. You know, I want to turbocharge my lawnmower or whatever. Everybody wants tools that are tough and tools that will last. And if you're proud of your tool and you stand behind it, yeah, where's the unconditional money-back guarantee? I mean, or whatever kind of guarantee you offer, that should be something that's front and center in the form of a seal. I agree. And as you mentioned also, if this is sold in stores, and I'm pretty sure it is, it's just not necessarily just through the website, then the fact that, you know, buy it at Home Depot and at Lowe's and at Ace Hardware or whatever, you know, your local chains are, putting those badges up on your site is a form of trust and credibility itself. I probably won't buy it at Home Depot and if it's more convenient for me to get it here, or I might just run out because I need one. So, you know, the where to buy, I'm sure it's carried at a bunch of national chains. Wow, look at that. Now, there's some proof in the form of brands. Now, you don't necessarily want to have all of them, but look, Lowe's, Home Depot, Ace, everybody's heard of those. Okay, I've even heard of some of the other smaller ones, but why isn't that on your homepage? Now, it doesn't need to dominate the visual conversation. These are pretty strong logos, and they actually look a bit like a grab bag when you put them in their full-color glory here. One thing that we do on our homepage that I recommend is graying them out and balancing them for size and visual impact, because, you know, if you saw Nestle in red, it's going to completely outdo Paychex, which is in navy blue. So you really you have to make sure that if you're going to put a stack or double stack of logos like that, that they don't dominate the visual conversation and that they have roughly comparable visual impact. Okay. So promote that trust to your homepage. It's a little, if you really think, like Andreas said, Andreas, I'm just amazed you actually found the Where to Buy link up here because it's so tiny, but you definitely want to have that trust somewhere on your homepage in a dedicated form. Okay, let's move on to Tasty Image. And indeed, it looks tasty. You have the cute cartoon character. This is, I assume, some kind of customized chocolate gifts and personalized chocolate gift site. And the reason we don't look at these in advance in a lot of details is we really want to kind of give you our first impression of them, which is how most people would look at it. The one thing about this from a design standpoint, it looks okay, but a little bit flat. I would say that just putting rounded end caps on some things and not on others, and just having solid colors, except that there's a little bit of a gradient here in the green. It's just a little bit of a mix and match, and it's kind of a flat site. And again, I wouldn't use these extreme contrast. The chocolate brown, although I know that's kind of, it should be used very sparingly. I would go primarily with a kind of the tan color as to create that feeling of warmth. But again, from a transactional trust standpoint, I don't see any shopping-related stuff. I assume that you're not just giving things away for free. Where are your payment methods? Where is your is trustee or McAfee Secure or these other things that are going to make me feel safe transacting with you? That's something that's clearly missing here. I think if you, what I'm seeing because of your color choices, the Twitter and the Facebook logo really stand out quite a bit because everything else is these kind of neutral earth tones. And I'd like to see more attention drawn to a little ribbon that says we accept Visa and MasterCard and our site's secure and we're not going to, you know, sell off your email address to a spammer. And those things are still, because you're a niche site, you're not a well-known brand. So it's the one thing that I think, Andreas, you can back me up on this, we've seen in tests that lesser-known brands actually benefit more from trust seals because people don't know about them. If I go to Sony's site, I know about Sony and I know their brand promise. I'm not that worried about their site being secured. Although, ironically, the ones that had the big break-ins and millions of credit card numbers were stolen. But in any case, generally, I'd say big companies need trust less. Smaller companies, specialty companies like this, need transactional trust more. Andreas, do you have any kind of data that supports some of our informal findings and our tests?
Oh, yeah. We work with a huge number, thousands of very small companies, many of them e-commerce companies for our web seal business. And we tend to see that for smaller companies with lesser-known brands, we see an increase in sign-ups in the 20 to 30% range and for sales in the 10 to 20% range. And for larger brands, you mentioned Sony, you know, the Sonys and Dells and Best Buys, the well-known kind of household name type brands, they see lower increases in sales because their brands are so strong. So we see anywhere from, you know, 4 or 5% up to 10% for those big brands. So they still get a lift. Sometimes we attract new audiences. Sometimes, like you mentioned, people are afraid of big brands because they're so big and they might, you know, they have so much data, they have so many people touching it. But we see lift on both sides, and you know it's across a sample size, if you will, of a couple thousand clients. So we're pretty public about it.
Okay. Well, yeah. So that's very helpful. So basically, your numbers are backing up what kind of our more anecdotal observation, which is that both benefit, but smaller unknown companies benefit from trust seals more. And I think this company definitely falls into that category. All right, let's move on to the next one, Exactware. Now, I'm not actually even sure what this company does, but I can first impression, again, a form of trust, I would say this looks like a professional site to me. It's clean, it's subtle, it's pretty corporate-y looking. You know, it's very subdued grays and blues, so I think, you know, corporate. They're credible. Maybe they get this DVD duplicated in a garage somewhere and send it out and hand ship it on the weekends, but as far as I know, they're a big dog, okay, or a professional site anyway. So the first impression is good. Since it's software, it looks like it's software for, you know, estimating home repairs and things like that, or is that right? Yep. So if there's a claim on your home and for some kind of insurance loss, how do you document the damage and make your claim? So very specialized. One thing I'd like to see is even if you haven't gotten any awards in trade magazines, even if you've advertised in any kind of trade magazines or our trade websites, I'd like to see some association with the industry, whether it's insurance or something like that. So, you know, a proud member of the National Insurance Loss Prevention Institute or whatever the group is, and, you know, if it's more than one, then great, put those. And those should be in, again, a dedicated space above the fold on the homepage here somewhere, because, you know, if I go to your community, I'm just trying to see if there's – we have a user conference. Okay, well, that means that you're not super tiny, okay? Go to Salt Lake City in February, get some good skiing in. We have a rental property out there. Love the snow. Sorry, let me get back to reality here. But the fact that you have a user conference is in itself a form of trust, okay? Also, again, under your company, let's see, we have – In your about section, I think that if there's anything that you can kind of surface, okay, since 1986, wow, okay, are there any well-known people? Well, actually, wait, you're a member of the Verisk Insurance Solutions Group. That's not a trade industry, I think, or industry association, but you have some kind of, I'm just looking at this, based on, something is based on, okay, 80% of insurance repair contractors use ExactMate. Wow. Okay. Now, if 80% of insurance repair contractors use ExactMate, or 9 out of the top 10, those are huge numbers. And I had to go digging into your About Us, which, by the way, will never be visited by any sane or rational person. And it's buried down there. And instead, it should be proudly displayed on our on your homepage. It should be, you know, what did when Crest or Colgate do their commercials, you know, 7 out of 10 dentists prefer Scope or Crest or whatever. You know, that's, you get to actually say that, but, you know, it's not anywhere here in sight. Actually, wait, it looks like I just went back to your homepage and it looks a little different, or maybe I wasn't on your homepage before, but you know, you do have your user conference there. That's great. I would put much more trust in the form of testimonials, in the form of trade associations, and in the form of these kind of market penetration numbers. Okay. Andreas, anything to add?
No, I thought this site was reasonably well put together. Your points about what was on the About Us page were perfect. I mean, this does not come across as like an industry leader to an outsider. Maybe people in the industry know it better, but those stats on the About Us page are awesome and should be front and center, I think.
Okay, let's take a look at. I think we have a few more minutes here. I want to see how many more we can squeeze in. Now, AMSOIL. Okay, one thing this site does to me is, again, just do I trust you standpoint? No. It's bold. It's in your face. It's all over the place. It has no consistent visual look, and I'm sorry to be so harsh, but that first impression, you know, I want to hit the back button here. There are moving things. The bottle conveyor line going up. There are flashing things over here on the left. You know, and then it says, you know, there's a giant video that I guess I'm supposed to click to play, but it says AMSOIL, then it says AMSOIL again, And then it says wholesale preferred customer. Now, maybe, I don't know your business model, maybe you only sell to wholesalers, but I'm not even sure who this site is for, or whether you're selling consumers or to dealers or to distributors. Don't get it at all. So from a professionalism standpoint, I'd say very low marks. Visual distractions and kind of tacky graphics just make things worse. And from a trust standpoint, whenever you see flashing anything or moving anything, it makes me question it. Why are you trying so hard to get my attention? It's almost like things on this page are competing with themselves. It's like a kind of a Turkish bazaar. Everybody wants you to come into their stall and look at their carpets or their pistachio nuts or whatever. Once you get me to your page, you don't need to work so hard to compete with yourself anymore. Okay, I assume your oil's wonderful. Does anybody ever say that it's wonderful? Because I don't see any evidence here. Well, no, wait, that's not true. It says First Choice Oil, Jimmy Mason, I guess. No, that's not trust. Commitment to excellence, wholesale pricing. Here's one. You know, first synthetic motor oil to meet the American Petroleum Institute criteria. Wow, that was back in 1972. The original synthetic motor oil, right? You guys started it all. But do I get that from looking at the website? Absolutely not, because you're not surfacing that trust. Okay. I think that's so. The production quality, you know, if you're members of the American Petroleum Institute and you've been certified by them, certification seals would be huge in this context. So there are definitely some missed opportunities here. And from a professionalism and first impressions, I think this is a, I hate to say this, but a blow it up and start over situation. Andreas, any other thoughts?
No, you summed it up well.
Okay. Well, let's do another site, which, again, I think suffers a bit from the perception or first impressions. And we talked about fonts before, so whatever I said on the first site about different font styles and font uses, do you see how largely this page is about the fonts and the fact that they don't fit together? So when I come here first, I'm not experiencing your product. I'm just experiencing what am I supposed to look at? How is this prioritized? What do the different fonts and colors mean? There's everything from purple to green, red, every color of the rainbow, medium blue. Then there's this. Then some of these have drop shadows on them against white. Some of them are just plain text put against a banner, and I'm not even sure what that background image is. I mean, it's either a wonton or a rose. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt and think it's a rose. There is a use of a trust symbol here, McAfee Secure, so I guess you want me to buy something. But the graphics, too, I'd say from first impression standpoint, when you're looking at these very cartoony graphics, there's such a variety of different visual styles. There's some nice clip art up here. There's cartoony graphics. There's very much kind of an illustration type thing for the pumpkin. Then you have a photograph of your catalog homepage or cover, rather. So I think the thing that gets me here mostly is the production quality. I wouldn't see you as credible based on just the first impression. That overwhelms everything. So probably even if you had the best prices and the best selection, you actually had knowledgeable people answering the phone. And I can tell you have a lot of depth. That's the irony of it. You have a catalog. You have all of these great categories here on the left, so I know you have deep content, but the presentation I think is going to turn a lot of people off. Any thoughts? This is a catalog, Andreas. How would you improve it from a trust perspective?
I mean, they do have a lot of the things that I like in here. They're calls to action, the phone number, the hours, the cart and the go-to page. I don't know, it seems like there's just a lot going on. I don't know if you need the total and the cart kind of details on the home page. Mm-hmm. I like that there's a seal there and even directions to the store if you're in the area. But again, I don't know if you need that on there because this is their homepage, so most people, I assume, wouldn't be in the area.
Most people aren't in Willits, California.
Something where you scale it down either by more. So it seems like they have nav across the top and down the side. That might be busy. Maybe pointing that out. So I just clean it up and scale it back a little bit. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I'd say it's a very busy page, partly because of the fonts, but there's just not any room to breathe here. There are also 5 or 6 buttons on the page, so it's really not clear how to prioritize them because they're all gold buttons. Then you have go shopping, request design, you have get catalog, you have drip news sign up, search, and so on. It's just a... if you're going to use buttons, prioritize differently. Have one primary call to action button, and the other should be kind of a more muted color. You can't have them all be the same. All right, let's take a look at another site here. I think we have about 5 minutes. Radis Tech Services. First impression, I'd say, very high marks. It's very clean. Again, you guys aren't seeing it on the sides here. There's this. This is actually a pretty even kind of transition from gray to white, so you don't have that the banding that you're seeing there on your screen probably. Neutral colors, clean design, lots of open space. Those are all things that are very good. And then from a trust standpoint, this is a professional service. This is some kind of tech services, consulting services. So you have front and center the Microsoft Gold Certified Partner. In your industry, for people looking for what you do, that's probably a pretty strong marker of trust. You can do this, I would say, in a dedicated area with more trust seals put together. For example, here you have in the newsroom, which I wouldn't put on the homepage or not at least at the top of the homepage, it says you've achieved ISO 27001 certification. Well, I'm sure there's a seal for ISO certification. And instead of reading in your press release page, or like I said, just get that whole newsroom thing off the top of the page, I'd like to see it as just another seal below the Microsoft Gold Certified Partner. Okay. And then if you had 3 or 4 seals and you belong to other trade associations, the professional services firm, you want to show you're a good corporate citizen, number one, and number two, that you're up on your knowledge and respected by your peers. So if there, I don't know if I go to About Us, if there's anything I would find maybe in the newsroom. Well, there's only 3 press releases there. But it'd be nice if you belong to some other associations. And I call this the butterfly collection. It doesn't even matter what those seals are. They may be only very niche things that are known in your industry. But what they are just kind of you're proud of whatever they stand for. I may not be familiar with them. So I think that overall the execution is pretty clean. I'd like to see more trust. And then, the client speak is good, but not one thing that professional services firms, and we were just talking about this the other day, is clients want to know about the context. So if you have different practice areas, deeper in the site, whether it's enterprise services or consulting services, have testimonials there that are relevant to that industry or that group, because I want the closest comparable kind of case study or testimonials. I don't necessarily want generic ones, people saying that you're nice people, okay? Well, I think we're running short on our time. We have a couple of more minutes, but I think we're going to wrap it here. I'm going to throw it back to Melissa, and we'll appreciate any feedback you have after the call.
Great. Thank you so much. Thanks a lot, Tim. That was great. That was a lot of fun. Great, being able to actually view sort of your thinking process and how you go about looking at all the websites as you review them. We do have a few questions, but I think what we'll do is we'll just, if it's okay, Tim, we'll send them your way after the fact. Maybe you can answer as many as you can.
Be glad to do that. Yes.
Okay. Great. But anyways, I think we'll have to close it down now. So on behalf behalf of Retail Online Integration, I want to thank you all for attending this webinar. I'd also like to thank our wonderful speakers, Andreas Rudis-Pencil, and, of course, Tim Ash for his wonderful expertise in website and landing page design. I'd also like to thank our sponsor, Trustee. And for any additional information about our webinar series, please check out retailonlineintegration.com. And, of course, please take a moment to fill out our feedback survey. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.